Hello, thank you for joining in. This is Rafael from the Better Boss Network. I am recording a podcast just for this episode that we're going live. We're going live typically Monday through Friday or Saturday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Today we're having a little bit earlier just to try to get a good feel of what the times are. But however, nonetheless, we're still moving through and trying to, again, involve leaders, managers to become better at what they do. So if you're not familiar with the Better Boss Network or podcast or content, our focus is really to help you become a better manager to create value. At the end of the day, it's about you being a manager and creating value. And the reason we're doing this, right, if you go to my Stand store, download the ebook, is because there's no real good management training for new managers or new leaders or new crew leads. any opportunity that you have to become a leader, right? There is a lack of fundamental management training for you to do so you can progress in your career, right? We all have those experiences where we get our first leadership role and they throw us in the wolves, and that's what we deal with. So unfortunately, that continues to happen to this day. I was teaching a class this past last weekend, and one of the senior individuals in there, you know, pulled me to the side and said, "Hey, you know, when you mentioned that managers don't get any training, and typically the way the cycle works is that the manager promotes the best employee, then the best employee becomes that leader without the right skill set, and that whole cycle continues. So the question then becomes, how do we break that cycle?" So in the class, I had the senior leader kind of present or kind of talk about those things amongst the group. And a lot of people had different answers, right? Some people said, well, you just have to hire better, right? Ask right questions when you're hiring. And some other people didn't really have a really specific answer. But the way you would break that cycle is you have to first learn how to manage first. If you're in a leadership role, management role, it's really important that you learn how to effectively manage to create value. It's going to take a little while. It should take you about two months to get the fundamentals down, then really 6 months to get an understanding of what the fundamentals work and how it all works together so that you can understand how to hire people at that point, right? Because it does require a certain level of skill set and willingness to become an effective manager. So that's one way to break a cycle. The other thing also is to teach other people the same thing about being an effective manager, right? Is once you learn the principles and the concepts, it's really about sharing with others. Give me a second here. Got it. So again, my name is Rafael. I am the owner of the Better Boss Network. We are recording a podcast as we're doing a live. I tend to post a lot of content on TikTok, YouTube, LinkedIn are the primary things. And so again, if you have any specific questions about how to become a manager or your just situation altogether, right, about being a manager, let me know. Let me in the comments. I had in the class that I was teaching the other day, you always have that one person that airs out their dirt and laundry. And that's the whole point of the class, is that you have to be able to air your dirty laundry, and just because that's the only way someone is really going to help you if you want to share your situation about what you're doing, what you're learning. And thank you for the likes. I really appreciate it. And so that you can become better, because one, is you want to become better. The second thing is that no one really cares about the problems you're having as a manager. Like in that class, right? This one person kind of shared all the dirty laundry because she realized, like, that's the only one I'm going to learn, right? I don't care what the other 15 other leaders care about my situation. I just want to learn and be better. So you've got to be vulnerable and share your story here so that me, myself, can help you become a better manager overall. So again, thank you for joining in. My name is Rafael. I'm the owner of the Better Boss Network. And we do have podcasts going on. And we do have this going on right now. And one of the fundamental reasons I go on live is so that I can answer any questions, connect with the community, and see how I can help your current situation as a leader. I did have someone else join. One time I was doing a live and someone asked to join in, and we did that. And the person had really good questions around. He was a member of a nonprofit board of directors. And he had a couple questions about, again, fundamentally communicating with the board of directors and how to get them to buy in, right? That was the fundamental question that the person had. And I provided some context around what to do to get them to buy in. I recently posted a video about creating value. One of the key things that I always talk about as a manager is how do you create value? So let's talk about that for a second. When you're hired or promoted into a management role, right? The fundamental role that you have as a manager is to create value. And when I say value, it comes in two different ways, right? In the world that I live in the world that I teach, there's two specific things that I teach other managers and how to create value. Is one is your culture, right? Culture through your team, through your people and your colleagues and your manager. That is what I talk about, culture. Culture and also output, right? The results that you're trying to create. So those two specific categories, when we say create value, when I say value is an increase of engagement for culture and for results, it can be whatever goals that you're trying to achieve as an organization, whether it's productivity, efficiency, cost per unit. Those are the fundamental items, and there's other things, SLAs, you know, revenue, whatever those things are, that is what I mean, value. And at the end of the day, it has to deliver value for your customer, whatever that is. Your customer has to agree with the value that you're providing. If you back into that, then it's your goal, your objectives overall for the organization, which in general is your results. Then with that, you have culture. So when I say value, is that you're a manager that understands how to create value both tactically and strategically to meet the objectives of the organization through your culture to meet customer demand. So that's how Better Boss defines value, right? That's the value definition that we use. So in a recent video that I posted, so here's a quick example of an example or a way that you can create value as a manager. Because remember, your fundamental role as a manager is to create value. You're building teams, you're building your business, you're building these things that you're doing as a manager to create value at the end, right? To your organization. So here's a quick way, and I recently did a recent post of creating value. So again, if you have any questions, put them in the comments. I really appreciate it. I've got a couple people here, which is great. Here's one way to create value in what you're doing as a manager, right? So if you're a manager, right, you have certain activities that you're responsible for. say, for example, you're a manager and you have three or four leaders that report to you. You have direct reports that have, I want to say, 50 to 80 employees, right? Somewhere in there, 30 employees, whatever that looks like. And or you have, you're directly involved with employees, right? A couple scenarios where you're a manager, then you're directly involved with employees. Or if you're a manager, that you have other direct reports as leaders and they have the employees. Okay. So one way that you can create value is by understanding what the reasonable expectation is for your activities. Here, so what are the activities? It's a list of all the jobs that you're responsible for, right? As a manager, you should know all the jobs that you're responsible for in the work that you do. It's the work, right? What is the work? It's the list of all the activities, what we call activities, and that's what it is. It can be 15, 20, 30, whatever that, what it looks like for you. That's what you have to understand, right? That's what you have to know. What are the activities that my team or myself or my organization is responsible for? So first of all, that's the list. Within that list, you've got to know what the frequency is for each of those activities per week. For example, you've got one activity that happens 100 times a week. That's the frequency. Then you have to know what the reasonable expectation is for each of those activities, meaning that how long does it take to do that activity? In that same example where I said that one activity, they do it 100 times a week, an example would be that it takes 60 minutes to do for one, right? Do the math. You know what? That's 6,000 minutes for that one activity that you have to dedicate time to complete the goal of 100, which is your results output for your organization, right? That's the frequency of it. That's what you have to do based on customer demand. That's what it is, right? So that's the tactic around this. Create the activity list. What is the frequency and what is the reasonable expectation? Now, if you haven't done that, this is always a good activity to do to build a foundation of what the work is. That is your foundation. As a manager or leader, you have to be able to understand what that is. So let's get into how do you create value, right? How do you create an immediate value for your team, your organization, for the customer? So if you take that one, let's take that one activity 100 times every week for 60 minutes, right? The question becomes, who determined that it was 60 minutes? Was that an engineer? Was that a guest? Was that average? Whatever that is, around 60 minutes, right? If you inherited that number as a manager, then it's your responsibility to validate that number, the 60-minute number, right? Or any number that is within that activity list. But this is just one example. So if it's 60 minutes, then it becomes a question about whether or not that's correct, right? So what do you do? You have to validate the 60 minutes, or you have to validate as a manager. So what do? You do what's called an observation. You go out there and observe the process within that activity, 60 minutes from start to finish. You do more than three, because three will give you three data points of whether or not that 60 minutes is valid, right? And there's a process to learn how to do observations, which I'll teach in a separate course. If you go to my Stand store and you go to external links, you'll see some activities there that can teach you that. But conducting an observation is a very important skill to know, because it delivers that not only for the work itself, but it also helps you identify best practices, safety concerns, quality concerns, anything. The skill of doing an observation provides tremendous opportunities to look at the work itself, right? So anyways, back to the example. So if you do an observation for the one that's 60 minutes, say for example, you go out there and you learn how to do an observation and you look at it and go, I have five data points because I want to do five data points because I feel comfortable with five data points around that one activity, right? So if you look at it and go, hey, I did five observations and the numbers, there's numbers that are coming out. The first one was, 47 minutes. The next one was 42 minutes. The next one was 45 minutes. The next one was, you know, 46 minutes. And the next one was, you know, 39 minutes. The next one was like another 46 minutes. So you got five different data points, right? Excuse me. And you look at it and go, okay, the person was doing it correctly. They were following the process. There was no real quality issues. There was no safety issues, right? The person that was doing that I did these observations with, they were doing the job well at a reasonable pace, right? Then the question becomes, okay, it's not 60 minutes, and we had some examples of it going from 45, 46, 47, one at 39. Maybe a 39 was an outlier that you want to look at. But here's the thing. So once you have those specific data points, knowing that you did the observation, knowing that the individuals are following the process and there's no major issues. So the difference between the 60 and whatever that next one is, that right there is the inefficiency. You have to look and go, that 12 minutes or so to start off with, that's the inefficiencies within the process. You know what? And you identified, yeah, that person, there are some inefficiencies in there, or there are some things that I can fix, but there is a delta between 60 and those numbers in there, right? So then the question becomes for you as a leader, with those data points, what decision am I going to make to reestablish the reasonable expectations from 60 minutes to a number within that group that I may have to make a decision on, right? If you think about this, right, you've got to be smart about this, because you can't pick 39, because 39 is kind of an outlier. And here's the thing about the 39. So you did an observation and you picked one. There's one that happened at 39 minutes, and you look at it and go, okay, you know, is it possible that I can get from 60 to 39, right? You know, that is a true opportunity that you can say, hey, if I reestablish the expectation from 60 to 39, that's a huge improvement. But then again, that's going to require a tremendous amount of work, because maybe the person that did the 39 is an exceptional employee. They do things very exceptional, and it's be kind of difficult to try to bring the entire group to that level of 39, right? So you're like, hey, 39's not good. We're not good with 39 just now. I want to pick a number that it's more reasonable, so I can move the entire group on this first step to make an improvement, right? So you look at it and go, you know what, maybe the 47 or 46 is a more suitable number that I can make a decision so that I can re-communicate the expectation to begin the process of creating value. Because again, remember, this whole thing, the reason you're doing this is so that you can make a decision on reestablishing the reasonable expectations from 60 to a different number, right? So from 60, we'll say 60 to 47, right? Because that's an example that was in the observation, and the data shows that 47 is a dual number. So you would look at it and go, hey, 47 seems like a reasonable number that I can do, that I can get the team to rally behind and commit to 47 rather than 60, right? Because the thing you have to look at and things you have to consider is, you know what, can people achieve the 47? You've seen that. That's an example. You did the observation and said yes. The other part is there's no extra effort to achieve the 47, because remember, these numbers that I'm throwing out are considered reasonable expectations because it doesn't require any extra effort from the employee to achieve 60 or 47. There might be, here's the thing is that in the 47, you might realize that there are some inefficiencies that if you fix one or two things, you get the 47. Or it's a matter of like anything else is that you just reestablish the expectation because they're already doing it at 47. There's nothing you have to change. It's because the 60 is incorrect. Many times when you do these improvements and you reestablish the expectation, there's no real change needed because originally the 60 minutes was incorrect. So 47 is probably a better number as opposed to 60, because if you don't validate these numbers, like anything else, you're just living with this number and you go. So maybe doing the 47 is kind of one of those things, like you don't have to do anything. You just have to reestablish expectation because the work is already being done at 47, right? So that's the other part, right? So then you just make a decision to say, hey team, in all this you're engaging with them and saying, hey team, you know what, we're looking at reestablishing some expectations because again, our customer demand is changing. We want to improve as a team. We want to make sure they're creating tremendous value for the team. So we have to reestablish and look at our own processes so we can become better. In this one example, where we have 60 as a standard or reasonable expectation, I as a manager, I didn't establish that 60 minutes. I want to look at it again to understand whether or not that's a good number for us as a team, right? Because we're doing so well. So that's the beginning of the process that you have to communicate. Then when you do the observations, you're engaging with employees and asking them questions about, you know, what you're doing and engaging with the observations. So they're not unfamiliar with what you're doing. So they're not surprised with the outcome, right? So in all of this, in the observation process and what you're doing with the data, you're gauging employees, because what you don't want to do is surprise them, say, hey, we're going from 60 to 47. They're like, whoa, hold on for a second, right? But if you're engaging and informing them of what's going on in your daily huddle meetings and your weekly meetings and the things that you're doing, they're not surprised. You're communicating the fact that in order for you as a team to become better, you have to reestablish the reasonable expectations to a different number. They become better. Not that you don't have to go any faster. It's just that you're just upping the bar or changing the goals based on the demand or what you're trying to achieve, right? So if you communicate all those different things of the why, chances you have a better chance of employees not pushing back. You're going to get some pushback, but you're not going to get like hard-nosed pushback, like saying no because you never communicate with them. You have to make sure you communicate with your employees so that they understand the direction that you're going in your plan for success. All right. So once you reestablish the reasonable expectations from 60 to 47, that's the example we're using, right? Then that's what you communicate. Then you say, hey team, we're going to reestablish this activity that we're doing 100 a week from 60 to 47. We're going to start this on Monday. This is the plan and this is my follow-up. And this is the way we're going to track it. If there's any challenges that you may have with that new number, I'm going to be on site, you know, the first day, follow up, and we'll work through it, right? Our goal is to get the 47 consistently in a matter of 2 to 3 weeks, right? And, you know, you've done all the explanation of the why, but it's really important that when you communicate those, to tell them that you're going to be there. You're going to be side by side with them about this new reasonable expectation, and you're going to calm the waters when they do the work, right? Because they're going to be a little bit nervous, right, about going from 60 to 47 or just having just a number in general. And you're going to be there and say, hey, it's okay. It's okay. Just do the work. We're going to record it. And you're going to see that everything's going to be okay. So the first day, that's the way it is, right? Kind of a little bit of rumbling. After the second day or third day, people calm down. The data starts showing. Then you're going to start seeing the improvement from 60 to 47 in a matter of a couple of days, right? You're going to have one or two stragglers, but that's okay. You just have to coach and mentor them to get going with that. Then after that first week, you're going to feel really good that you made that improvement, because now the team is humming, they understand what the new expectation is, and they're going to be delivering value results, right? So that's an example, a quick example of how you deliver value as a manager to your team or an organization. Let's talk about that. The organization one is that you're delivering more, right? More, meaning you went from 60 to 47. So that's going to give you more per hour than 60. 60 was one. 47 is like 1.1 or 1.2, right? So if you do that, if you do the math per week, that's a huge improvement from 60 to 47. Huge improvement just by doing that one activity. The second thing in culture is that you're teaching your team, right? In the things that you're doing, you're teaching your team how to win in the scenario, right? How to be proactive and create value for themselves and be part of a winning team. Remember, you're creating a plan for success in what you're doing with this specific example, but you're teaching them how to win, because what you just did, you created value. That is winning as a team. Then you can tell your boss and say, hey, my team, we've created value and this is what we did. What else is there? I don't know. What else is there? If you're a manager and you're teaching your team how to win and how to create value, and at the same time, you're putting a feather in your hat because you're creating value for yourself and for the organization. Not only that, you're helping your boss win as well, because if you're doing this, you're making your boss look really good, because you're saving money on cost because you're doing these things, right? So it's a no lose situation if you do it this way. No one loses. Your team wins, you win, and your boss wins, and the organization wins. It's a no lose situation. So again, this is one simple example that you can do as a leader to create value in your organization. Now, it does take a little work. It's a little bit different than what you normally would do as a manager, because this really focuses on the work itself. And you have to do this in order for you to create value. This is the work. The biggest challenge for this, right, is it's your fear of this. As a manager, and I understand that it's different. This process is a little bit different than what you're normally used to in management training or the lack of management training. But I can guarantee you, if you do what I'm telling you as a manager, you're going to create value, guaranteed, because this process does work. So let me share an example with you, or kind of a story. I had a person in a class that I was teaching this, right? That we call the Building the Foundation Observation Activities. And with the same thing I was trying to teach you right now, this is what happened. So this person was responsible for a group of employees that was service related. They were processing customers as they show up at a window, right? Show up at a window, and this is what they do. And they process this thing for them. And, you know, they had a clear start and stop, right? The employee, the leader was there, and, you know, and at the very beginning, she was really skeptical, right? You know, I'm not sure if this is going to work. But her biggest challenges were legacy employees, people that had been there for 20, 30 years that were kind of having difficult time changing, because the SLA for that was really quick. You can imagine a service level, you know, employee that processes people that are walking up to this window, and the whole goal is to try to process them within, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, right? I think originally the goal was 5 to 10 minutes, but there's a long line of people waiting for the service to happen, right? You know, it's a walk-up window and people were there, right? But of course, her challenge was they had a mix of employees, people taking way over 30 minutes for this job to do, right? And there was people that were taking 5 minutes, right? The best practices. So she had a challenge to say, you know, how do I begin fixing this? So in the class, what she learned was the same thing. What are the activities, right? What are the activities? What's the frequency? And what's the expectation? Then you do the observation. And the person, she did the observations. And she realized that there was numbers from 5 minutes from processing one customer to over 30 minutes, right, of some employees to do that. And there were some numbers in between. But her biggest concern was legacy employees. I said, you know, don't worry about identifying legacy employees. What you have to identify is what's the reasonable expectation that you want people to do in order to meet your SLA objectives, right? Because even within that observation, she realized that people didn't have the right skill sets, that people didn't know how to properly have conversations to control the communication to quickly process the request. She realized that their lack of organization skills. So within that observation, she was able to detail all these specific training needs that some of the people needed. So I said, that's great. I said, within that observation, that's great that you identified those. So that's the starting point of you creating a skill flex, right? A training matrix that we also have in our Stand store to begin the process of training individuals to understand all those different things that are required to process those things within and she did that. So when she did the observation, she engaged the employees and talk to them about it and what you want to do. And she picked a number. She says, my goal in this next 30 days is going to be 10 minutes, right? Because there's a lot of examples in that observation where some people, what they're doing at 5 minutes, which are best employees. And there's some people that are doing it in 10, 12, and of course 30. And she said, we're not going to do 30. I think reasonably, I think we have a good group of people that can do it in 10. That's what we start off with. And she did that. She did that, made a decision and say, hey team, our reasonable expectation is 10. These are the things we're doing. We're training you on typing. We're going to show you how to control the conversation. Then the other thing is that I'm going to teach you, you know, how to keep your workstation organized so you can quickly process these things and what to ask for. And she did that. And then first of all, right, most of the legacy employees got on board. That was the first thing that she was really concerned about, is that the legacy employees pushing back. But here's the thing, when I said, don't focus on legacy, just don't focus on legacy employees, just clearly articulate what the expectation is and what you're going to do to help them get there. That's all you have to do. And when she did that, after like maybe 30, I would say within the week, she was able to get those legacy employees to get on board with the training, to begin the process of training all those different things and see progress being made and reorganize the workstations, reorganize some of the workstations where people were unorganized. She took the first steps, right? So again, that's what happens within this process. If you're a manager and you want to begin the process of really challenging your employees and creating value and making improvements, this is the program that you need. Now, I do want to encourage you, right, if you're a manager or a leader, that this program that I offer is only a small piece in your overall scope of what you want to do as an individual, right? Because my fundamental focus is trying to train you to create value through results. That's all I do, right? To train you to do that. Now, that is all fundamental items that I train you on and teach you, but there's other things that you have to learn as a leader and as an executive or as a manager related to HR or admin. I don't teach any of that. All I teach is I stay within very narrow scope of delivering results and creating value. All the other things you can get somewhere else. I don't teach all the admin stuff and all the other things around that, right? So again, if you have any specific questions, ask away. Again, I've got a couple people here that have joined my subscription group as well. I'm still working through how to do this. But anyways, it also really, really critical. If you want to go to my Stand store, join the newsletter. Right, we send out these weekly items in the newsletter so that you can begin the process of making improvements. Right, the whole goal is that you become better as a manager. So again, join the newsletter. There's a couple things in my Stand store that kind of get. So again, ask away.